Member Week is here at Lowe's. Don't miss your chance to get up to 40% off hundreds of items like paint, faucets, vanities, doors, and more. Shop our exclusive deals happening in-store and online now through July 18th. Not a member? Join My Lowe's Pro Rewards for free today and get ready to save more. Lowe's, we help you save. Loyalty program subject to terms and conditions. Details at lowes.com/terms. Subject to change.
Okay. I am Death Destroyer of Worlds, a.k.a. Toothless Terry, a.k.a. Nasty Nardo, a.k.a. White Moses, a.k.a. B.B. Palmer. I'm from South Alabama on the west side of Mobile Bay, and we are in Reform, Alabama with my man, Alan Aldridge. And what's the Al's?
Spirits and Music.
Al's Spirits and Music. Look, we got the Duke right there. We got the Duke right behind me. Hey, Pilgrim. That's where we are. Is that good?
Life ain't always easy, this is true. So I wrote this song to comfort you. I'll be by your side through the rain and sunshine. Oh, I know when the rain falls, the sun will surely show, and it goes over and over again. That's just life, my friend. Up must put the work in, there's no doubt. I'll be by your side through the rain and the sunshine. Oh, I know when the rain falls, the sun will surely show.
So I listened to this show on Sundays, you know, and I had never heard him. Being from Detroit, there was a dude who was playing. He was playing some John Lee Hooker yesterday.
Oh, cool.
And I was like, I know that motherfucker. He's from Detroit.
John Lee Hooker's from Detroit.
I lived up there, man. So I was like, yeah. So if people are like Ted Hawkins, who?
Nobody knows. Nobody knows about Ted. He was His voice came from the center of the earth. That's how I describe his voice.
Yeah,
it's like very
to say it.
Primal and, you know, ancient. Anyways, he's the man.
But you were talking about this other artist.
Abe Partridge.
Abe Partridge.
Yeah,
you were
yeah.
talking about sometimes you find, like, you go up to Fayette, Alabama, and who's the artist up there?
Don't get me lying, brother.
Like a Fenster. Painter.
Oh, painter?
And he's
like a
he does
art.
All the murals up there. I know that.
Yeah.
They're like folk art or like...
Yeah, total folk art.
Yeah.
And the dude uses all clay because there's no...
That's what his materials
paint.
Are. Yeah, that's what it's around him.
And I didn't know
we'll
that
have
you...
have a little AC on the front.
I didn't know you could get...
Put it
I didn't
on,
know
Daddy.
You could get nine different shades.
Up. I agree.
I didn't know you could get nine different shades of clay in Fayette County, Alabama.
That's insane.
And that's how the fuck he does his painting.
That's cool, man. I love people like that who create according to what they, you know, what they got.
So I think Ted Hawkins is kind of
similar. Yeah, because he could only play like bar chords like that. So he tuned his guitar differently.
Did he do open tuning?
Yeah, he did open tunings. Sure. If you see him play live, he has gloves on. It's like part something condition he had. But great story. Grew up in Mississippi. Utter poverty, you know, like just hiked across America to L.A. and got signed, and then got signed to Geffen Records in 1991 after 20 years, and then died a year later.
Yep.
You know? Ain't that the way it goes?
Right? Yeah. Isn't that the way they say it goes? Also, Jim Croce, that also happened to him.
Yeah. All right.
Anyway.
Well, welcome you. You just heard from B.B. Palmer. It has been too long, man. I want to say it's probably been 2 or 3 years since you've been on the show. I have Kevin Striplin here with us, new friend, lover of the arts and the dark arts when it comes to music. And he just happened to be in town, and I was like, if you like the dark arts of music, you're going to like some B.B. Palmer.
Alan, I came all the way, because I knew B.B. was playing today, and I drove all the way from Detroit.
What?
Michigan.
I know.
Because I knew this cat was coming up from Demopolis, Alabama.
Oh, man.
Like, yeah, man, where the two rivers meet.
That's it. Where the two rivers meet, man. Yeah.
You
yeah.
taught me a lot about my own state I didn't know, man.
Yeah, me too. You schooled me today on stuff I had no idea about.
All right. So my family's been down here a long time. Man.
Right.
Yeah, we started Alabama.
Yeah. Y'all are the people who started Alabama.
We started Alabama.
Dude,
my neighbor's a Stripling. It makes sense. Are you kidding him?
See, what I was telling you about our tree.
You had to go back up north.
We had to go up north to keep the bloodlines, to like cleanse it. Because my mom's...
Too many babies with web feet and whatnot.
My mom's from Blue Ridge,
Platypus
Georgia.
Is around here.
Yeah.
Is he from Blue Ridge?
Blue Ridge.
Beautiful.
Did you see Deliverance ever?
Of course.
Yeah, I swam in that river when I was
Sweet.
A kid. So my family all went up north, you know, about the late...
Did you have a banjo with you?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Go out to Pickens County.
Anyways, so that's crazy.
So, man, tell us about Demopolis. What the hell goes on down there?
Nothing, man. Like, it's nothing. Like, it's a small town, you know. Like, you know, I just kick it with my grandma and my family. But there's, like, you know, there's one bar... You know.
So it's a wet county. Marengo County's wet, or how does that work?
Yeah, it's wet. It's wet. Yeah, it's wet. It's wet, and the people are dry. You know what I'm saying? It's a nice, peaceful place to live. You know, I'm like when I'm there. Like I said, I'm sleeping or I'm taking care of Nana. And so
are you originally from there, man?
No, I'm not. I'm originally from Mobile Bay.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what? Because Grandma Nana was up there?
Nana lives up there, right. And my whole family, on my dad's side of the family, lives up there. So, you know, like when I moved from Opelika, I moved in with Nana, you know, because she'd been wanting me to, you know.
Yeah.
And I was like, shit, I don't need to get a place. I'm gone half the year, you know. So yeah. I'm like, I'll do that. So, but I'm really originally from Mobile, Alabama. Right.
That's Baldwin County, right?
Not Baldwin County.
Mobile County.
Mobile County. Yeah, I'm on the west side of Mobile Bay, not the east side.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah.
What's the nicer part?
That'd be the DIP. it's a song he should have played. It's a song I highly recommend. One of my favorite BB songs, DIP.
Yeah.
Dolphin Island Parkway, and that's the west side.
About the west side of that bay, and some of the characters down there and all that.
Well, let me ask you this: what have you seen change down from like Mobile's crazy now?
Yeah.
I mean, I've got a lot of friends from Michigan that are like, yeah, we're going to go to Daphne, and we want to go to Dolphin Island, Fairhope.
Yeah, Fairhope's blowing up.
That's east side now.
That's east side, yeah, but still, though, it's still in same bay, you know, different side. It's grown a lot, man, since I was a kid. The bay, the west side of the bay is still kind of like the same. That's, you know, kind of just, it's still kind of the same. Some things change here and there, but... The west side, the east side though is like, you know, like Baldwin County, like you said, blow up.
Yeah. But so can you fly into If I wanted to fly down to Mobile,
we got an airport.
Because your airport's expanding, isn't it?
So yeah, it's getting a little bigger.
All of us Midwesterners and
can
fly down to Orange Beach and
Snowbirds.
Matter of fact, they just signed more contracts. Like if you look at that airport, they've got more coming out of Texas, Midwest, and even your area up in Michigan just for that.
That's wild, man.
Gentrification, man.
It is coming for us all. It's so funny.
Snatching the soul from the city.
You'll see a meme of like vacationing in the United States of America, and it'll have everything color coded. And like you'll see Alabama, Mississippi, which I think is a great tourist attraction. Alabama's the Amazon of the Americas.
Hell yeah.
We've got more ecology than any other state in the country, but like, Mississippi and Alabama has highlighted a certain color. It's like, where you go if you're poor? And I was like,
Mississippi.
We are the like top two poor states.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I was like, it's beautiful.
It is.
It's hot, you know, but it's beautiful.
A lot of beauty.
Well, all right. So, man, you're down with the clowns, right?
Yep. I go chicken hunting.
All right. Cool. Check this out, man. So I was telling these guys today about this boat that I bought up in Ohio, Catawba Island, and I'm going to take it down the 10-Tom Waterway. I'm going to put the boat in up in Diddle Landing, Huntsville, go down to Pickwick, make the left turn down the 10-Tom. I'm going to run through your hometown or your
Demopolis,
town.
Get gas.
Yeah, get gas. Then I'm going to head down. But you know what I named this boat?
What?
Whoop, whoop.
Whoop, whoop. You gonna have some Faygo with you?
Yeah, man.
Oh, hell yeah.
So everyone's like, what are you gonna name this boat? What are you gonna name? Because my last boat was a Happy Hideaway. And I looked at my wife and I was like, all right, what do you think?
Man.
And she's whoop, whoop. So she's got the stickers. She's got it all laid out there.
Your wife's a keeper, bro.
And I can't wait to roll through Demopolis.
Dude.
And I'll lay on the horn and I'll be whoop, whoop.
Better have a good system blasting some ICP, man. Come on.
So you're a big fan of Wu-Tang, man. How did you find ICP?
I mean, I found it. One of my friends in middle school one of the records, you know, one of the two early 2000s records, and like Chicken Hunting was on it, and like
Chicken Hunting.
Yeah,
we do that in Detroit.
Yeah, dude. And I was like, wait, she's crazy, man. I was like, I loved it. So that's how I found out.
What was the first record you ever bought?
400 Degrees, Juvenile, Cash Money.
Okay.
Yeah. So back in, when I was in sixth grade, you know, you go to Walmart and get the CDs.
Yeah.
And Cash Money was huge, and it was just starting. And like, you know, Juvenile, which I still love Cash Money to this day, and in that era. But I had to get like my friend's brother to buy it for me, you know, the explicit, you know.
Oh,
what I mean?
Are you serious?
Yeah, because they wouldn't let you buy it unless you were a certain age.
Oh, dude, I don't know if it was that way up in Michigan,
no.
But like when I first bought my first CD, like, my mother had to buy it because they took explicit very seriously.
Yeah, you gotta be.
Is that an Alabama thing?
Because it was Mississippi too, brother.
I think it was a southern thing.
So those, because I thought they were just cool to see on a record or a CD, and like,
no,
fuck it,
man.
I'm walking up there.
Well, dude, I mean, even some of the marketing kind of turned into that, and I don't know if they knew that, but that was like hurting some of your listeners down who were trying to snatch up the album.
But it actually, you know, the reason why all that happened is because of like Tupac and like and Bob Dole and Bill Clinton
and shit, they
were trying to like censor everything, you know.
Ah.
And so like, you know, like when all that stuff was coming out, all that music was coming out in the early 90s, they're like, you know, it like, you know, shocked white America, I guess, or something. But like, you know what I'm saying? They're like, we got to put an explicit thing. And it backfired on them because everybody saw the explicit thing and was like, I want that.
Well, yeah. CC went into Walmart.
Never works.
They enforced it at Walmart.
So, of course, you want what you can't have. So the shit backfired on them.
Let me ask you this.
Selling millions more.
Let me ask you, with that in there and Walmart shopping down here back in the early 90s, and they had some lady working the cash register, right? The checkout. And they would stop you?
And, well,
absolutely.
Are you serious?
ID, because you would buy on the technology side.
Well, you had to buy
it
in the back,
side.
Yeah. So there would be a lady in the electronics thing, and you get a CD, And then you'd have to, like, show your ID if she asked, and then...
Yes! It was like buying alcohol,
can I see
man.
Your ID?
Yeah, for real. It was crazy.
It's like going up to the gas station and get you a pack of smokes, man.
Yeah.
I need some ID.
Yeah, I think it was 18 or older, maybe.
It was.
Remember. Yeah.
It might have been 17, but
yeah,
anyway.
It could have been something like that.
It don't matter now.
No.
Yeah. So it's like you were talking about it backfired. I was buying Black Flag and Dead Kennedy records back in the... early 80s, and it was no one said anything about that.
And dude, that it was that way in my home. Like, my mother, she didn't allow me and my brother to play video games or watch a lot of TV until like we got a lot older.
Man, that backfired. And, look at these in the liquor stores.
And she comes down here and she hangs out. She's like, this is the only place I can ever see you two together. And it's like, ain't it ironic, mother?
Yeah.
Are you ashamed to have your car in the parking lot?
You know, I spent a lot of time.
Well, I'm proud of you.
Yeah,
brother.
Yeah, man.
She is. She is too.
Yeah, right. You know, you gotta love mama.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't drink down here when I was a kid, but my dad told me it's like everybody in Alabama drinks. He goes, they just don't do it in public. They don't do it out.
I was 13 or 14 the first time I. Right, it was a mason jar of my buddy's parents' liquor. We had a little bit of vodka, a little bit of tequila, a little bit of whiskey, a little bit of Pimm's, a little bit. Terrible. That shit was terrible. Yeah.
So that was your first record you bought?
Yeah, 500 or 400 degrees. Can't remember 400 or 500 degrees. Can't remember which number it was, but yeah, by Juvenile.
Okay.
Yeah, it was the first record I bought.
And we've been on a run, man, and I know it's been some time since you put out this record. I know you have a new record in the works right now.
Two of them.
Yeah, I haven't been that long.
Dude, it's been that long. Yeah, I got two in the works.
But just seeing you video podcasts with other folks, having a damn good time. Love seeing you on the camera and on the mic.
Thank you, brother.
But, man, what you been excited about lately?
Dude, I can't wait. I'm just pumped to finally put this record I'm working on in Atlanta that we were just talking about, the Wu-Tang meets Waylon. It's like the Kung Fu country music. I'll show y'all some of it later after we get done. I've been working on it for 2 years at a place called The Greenhouse Atlanta. It's a studio run by Rosie and Aaron Hill. And they've been running the studio for like 15, 20 years, and Aaron was a massive Wu-Tang fan, and as well, so like it was his idea, like, hey, what if we like drop some, you know, Kung Fu samples in this and kind of shape the concept around, you know, that. And I was like, well, let's try it. He dropped them in, and I was nervous, because I was like, oh God, please work. He dropped it in, and I was like, woo, shit, it worked, man, it was fire.
You always been a concept guy.
You can tell there's a theme happening here with these records, you know. My goal is to like try to dismantle country music and put new shit in there and try to like, you know, bring new shit into it, because it's all in a box, you know.
Well, I agree, and we said it earlier
shit, that shit's played out, man.
That's what I was about to say. We were outside talking about music earlier, and you was like, that's a bit played out, and like I heard you say that 3 years ago.
It's still played out. Well, there will always be a side of country music that'll be played out, no doubt. You know, but there's a lot of, you know, great stuff happening, you know, elsewhere in country music, I think, you know.
Can I say this?
Yes, sir.
Chet Atkins ruined country music.
Chet Atkins, you put
with
the Nashville sound.
Yeah,
because when my mom would play those records, man, because I remember getting off the school bus and hearing the Hank Williams, like, oh, you know, she had it blaring, and I'm 5 or 6, and I'm in Michigan. I lived at 19 Mile Road at that point, Sterling Heights. But
Sterling, anyway, but
when she would break out those stringed,
yeah. It'd be like saccharine, sweet.
Orchestrated things, and it was like the guttural sound is gone from this.
Yeah, they were trying to sophisticate country music at the time, because in the 50s, they were trying to get away from like Hank Williams Sr. Mm-hmm. and then the hillbilly roots of country music. So Chet Atkins, like, I was like, okay, I'll, you know, modernize it and bring these stuff in, and it was just like, you know, very, very... I guess, you know, it lost the rawness of it. And so that's with the Nashville sound, man. Yeah, that's like that guy, I'm gonna change everything and make a vision of you, oh yeah. And it'd be like that. It'd be like crooning country music with strings, okay. With a fat string.
I think all of music evolves, though. And you're talking about bringing new things into it.
For sure.
Why not?
It does, man. It's the natural way of things.
That's right.
I wonder if that's the reason why, like, one of the first Jason Isbell and the 400 Unit, why they called the album the Nashville Sound. Was that there? Were they trying to take it and change it again? I wonder.
Could be, man.
Who knows?
You have to ask Jason.
That'd be something for him.
Yeah, he got them big Jimmy Carter teeth now. He's made that money.
Yes, sir. All
right. Is he bringing it home?
Yep.
We're all teeth guys around here. Me and BB, we ain't got many real teeth in our heads.
Yeah. Okay.
So we always know when somebody done made it big.
Yeah, because you get the big Jimmy Carter set, you know, the big, like, tic-tac set, you know. So Jason got that going on, man, you know.
Yeah, them years of cigarettes and hard life.
So that's my next business venture. I'm going to go back to school and be a dentist.
Come on, dude.
Yeah.
And I'm going to...
But don't chastise me, because, like, whenever you're out at a social gathering, and if there's a dentist or a dental hygienist in the group, they right when I smile or start talking, that I see them keying in.
Yep.
And I was like, let me guess your line of work.
Yep.
Really?
You're a dental hygienist or a dentist. They're like, yeah. And like, your work looks all right, but I could have done it better.
You just tell them some shit like, man, the plastic surgeon did great on my face after when I fell out of that tree, you know?
Yeah. Like, I see a little plastic on you, too.
I don't judge.
Right?
I'm also a connoisseur.
That's it, man, you know. That's it.
All right, so let's get back to Demopolis, man. Like, what radio stations? Like, you must have listened to the radio when you were a kid back in those days.
But I didn't live in Demopolis. Mobile's when I was a little. Yeah, I listened to radio at Mobile. Listen a lot of TK101, a lot of 92.9 Beat of the Bay. That was like the R&B hip-hop channel. A lot of... I think 96.1, The Rocket, was like classic rock. Just, you know, they had some decent ones down there.
So then when you when did you pick up a guitar?
I was 13 or 12. I think my dad taught me.
Okay.
Like, he sings and plays and he taught
me. Now, I was looking at your guitar and you got some stuff ingrained in it.
Like, yeah, what? You want to know one of them?
Yeah. So who?
How about that one right there?
Oh, shh.
Whoop, whoop. Whoop, whoop. But I got I did this I haven't added to it recently. I did it maybe 5 years ago. But yeah, I just like drawing on my shit and having the names of inspiration people that I like and have changed me. And this is Alan Watts. Well, if you don't know Alan Watts, check him out. He's like this English dude who taught metaphysics and Buddhist philosophy, but he was from England. And James Baldwin is probably my favorite writers of all time. Terry Lee Brightung, that's my dad.
Okay.
ICP, well, you know, we got the posse, we got the clowns.
Right.
Yogananda, Paramahansa Yogananda, a great guru from India. Autobiography of a Yogi, he wrote that, changed my life. Brian Wilson, rest in peace.
Yeah, for sure. Did you take that guitar to India?
No, I didn't get to go physically. I went spiritually, mentally, and I learned pranayama and asana and all these things that helped me get out of a dark spot in my life, basically. It helped me climb out of that and learn how to do ancient techniques and shit. And so I'm now back in my lower vibrational stage again.
Okay.
But when I was doing that record, I was 3 years celibate. Because I was reading, all these things and saying how, if you're celibate, your creative energy is. And so, I don't think I was doing it purposely for that, but I think that the celibacy has something to do with it as well. But I was, man, during those days, I was, floating. I was, I was, just barely touching ground, in a good way, I was just...
Well, who turned
pure.
Who turned you on to that? Like, where did you find that?
Dude, I found a copy of the Bhagavad Gita in this little room I used to rent out in Opelika. It was like Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe. I opened up a closet and this whole world fell out. You know, really? It was crazy. But that's where I found it. It's happenstance almost. Okay. Started reading it and I was like, holy shit. I was like,
phew. I mean, it really is that way, right? I mean, whenever you see a Bible at a hotel room, I mean, that's right. Why I like really having records at a liquor store. It'll almost be like the Bhagavad Gita. It's like you might find your next favorite artist. Yeah. In Reform, Alabama, just because that record art looked cool and it spoke right. to me.
You might find something that'll change your life deeply and move you deeply.
Yeah.
You know, you never know.
Yeah, and just like from that record to, I mean, you said you're working on two now.
Two now.
Man, like, catch me up. Like, last time we were together, we were down in Demopolis hanging out. We had the wedding party across the street. Yeah. That ruled.
Yeah.
And next thing I know, the recording process for that record happened. It released. I was just watching online footage. And now, you got brand new projects coming, dude.
This by the time. It's been
catch
three,
me up, man.
It's been 3 years since I put a record out. It was that last record. So nowadays, that's like, you know, might as well be 20 years
because really?
People are like, you know, they're all about
immediate.
Yeah, you know, everybody wants instant gratification. I don't roll that way. You know what I'm saying? I take my time and, you know, I make sure that I do it right. So since then, I've like, you know, just been like, you know, changed bands, dropped bands, went solo for a year and a half, got my chops up there, signed a record deal with Brett at Alabama Sound Company. That's the other record. And then, you know, 2 years been working on this Alabama Samurai record and just touring the United States and shit in between.
When do we get to see you again? Like, tell me your tour schedule. What do you got coming up?
I'm about to start releasing all my dates in September. I got August off. I got to be in the studio in August to work on some shit. So I got all that off. But in the next couple weeks, you go to like BB Palmer Music and you'll see all the tour dates.
Okay.
I'm going like up, I think the East Coast a little bit, up the Midwest.
I live here. I live at 9.5 mile.
So if I make it up to 9.5 mile, I'm going to holler at you.
I got a place for you to stay.
Dude, that'd be great.
There you go.
I love to come up to Detroit. I think I'm getting up to Nebraska, so I don't know how far that is. So I like to route that in.
All right. Are you hitting the East Coast, West Coast, Texas? You get up to Canada?
I've never made it up to Canada before. The farthest is Michigan, I think. You know, I can't remember where it was. But, yeah, some East Coast states. Like, and by East Coast, I mean maybe up to, like, you know, West Virginia and shit like that, and then hopping over to Kentucky, Ohio, I'll be in Illinois, I'll okay. be in I think Nebraska, and it's like a few week tour in September.
Alright.
So I'm working on getting ready to like announce those and all that.
And what about Porch Fest?
Whoa.
When's Porch Fest
it's
happening?
It's going to be in April.
See, now we're putting the pressure on him because I ask him, like, when's Porch Fest next year, Alan?
It's going to be April. I ain't picked a weekend yet.
Okay.
Have it on my birthday, man. April 20th.
Oh, a little 420 action.
There we go.
Wouldn't that be the tits?
Yep.
We'll see about that.
You can get me for a good deal. It's a birthday deal.
All right. If you wouldn't be no deal, if it was your birthday, you know I'm gonna put you up like a damn
come on,
king.
Homie.
Come on, dude.
Oh, man. I know you're good. I know you're good like that. Come on, my man.
So when you tour, so let's talk about this tour that you're gonna do, man. Like, what do you drive? What is it?
The old CRV, baby.
Okay.
It's me and me alone.
So you just pack up, you put your own PA in there?
No, I don't travel PA.
All right.
So you just
bring your guitar, man.
I bring my guitar and my merch and my backpack. Yeah, on solo tours. And
okay.
And so I just, you know, like, might have my girlfriend with me sometimes, help me do merch, and she sings with
right.
me too. But really, it's just me for those solo tours. And I'm just, you know, grinding and hustling and, you know, doing what I got to do on that end.
Right.
And then I'm finally putting a band back together after, like, a couple years and playing solo. And so I'll have some band dates as well in September and through the year. So
let me ask you this. As a traveling and touring musician, and you're doing the solo thing and you're running in the minivan, I would think, right? What is it?
CRV.
Okay. I'm from Detroit, man. We don't drive Hondas. We don't drive Nissans.
Fords only. Yeah,
there you go. There you go. Now you're talking.
Yeah,
so,
I like a Ford.
Okay, so is it profitable for you, man? I mean, is it?
I mean, you know, it
do you
is
break even.
No, I make some money.
Okay.
I know enough to pay my bills and maybe a little extra. You know.
Yeah, I'm not trying to get in, but there's a lot of people in the world, and we talked about immediacy about. You know, about getting away from streaming and everything else. And so for musicians to go out and hit the road and be able to do what you do, it sustains itself.
Yeah.
Right? Does it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, that's kind of like the road is how I make records. You okay. know what I mean? Like, it's like, okay, grind, money, record. Right, you know what I mean,
yeah.
like that. So it does. It is like a very important part to sustain the whole lifestyle of, you know, being a tour musician or whatever you want to call it.
Yeah. So I mean, receptive. And how else do you push? How else do you push your product?
Online and shit. I got you know, shit like this, you know, podcasts, articles, you know, PR shit like that. I got a, you know, merch website, I sell merch online, and got an online store, you know, just hustling, just the old fashioned ways of, you know, getting your stuff in front of people, you know, grassroots style.
And that'll probably be something like before you showed up, we were talking about, I can't tell you, and you probably have friends in your circles as well, but I mean, so many friends who are making music now, if you're going to have it digitally, they'll only put it out on Bandcamp.
Yeah.
And so, like, they're leaving Spotify and Apple and all that. And, like, so many more people are, like, fueling the fire, and it's very much in the indie scene, but, like...
I encourage that.
But with the uptick of people, like, really being in the records and having physical media...
Breaking news, and this one is almost unbelievable.
Yeah, it's all about new customers at Bet365, because they get $150 in bonus bets when they bet $5, win or lose. And even better, bonus bets can be used on the spread, totals, and player props.
There you have it. Bet $5 to get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. And see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. T&Cs apply. Available in app only.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. With Indeed sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Don't wait any longer. Speed up your hiring right now with Indeed. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ13. Just go to Indeed.com/PODKATZ13 right now. And support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Also, like, just people, like, I believe there's an upsurge of people, like, finally understanding, like, oh, this kind of sucks being an artist if you only listen to them online and you don't go out and support them.
Right, because you're staying at home and you're streaming, but you're getting 0.007 of a cent per stream.
Yeah.
You're making less than a penny, you know, a lot less, more than a penny.
Look at this art.
Yeah.
Look at this art. And what I'm saying, man, is I will frame this.
Yeah, a lot of people buy that just to frame it.
And that's what I'm saying. The art is so good. Tell us about the art on this and who did this for you.
Look on the back.
Did you bring your Porch Talk record?
No, I didn't.
Because he's on it.
Yeah, I didn't bring my records down. So I got one of Alan's Porch.
Oh, yeah, Fest, yeah.
Compilation. You're on it.
Yeah.
And that's another one of those records.
I'm trying to get every one of the damn
frame.
Artists. So, dude, I have to drive down to Demopolis, where the hell ever you're going to be. And
yeah,
I
yeah.
need you to sign that record for me.
Okay, I'd be happy to do that, my man. When you come through on the boat, holler at me.
Whoop, 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 whoop.
Yeah. Whoop, whoop. But Manuka Madushan from Sri Lanka did this.
Okay.
In Sri Lanka. And I gave him the idea, and he kind of just, like, tweaked it, you know. And and man, made awesome. This. So it represents, you know, it's East, Far East versus, you know, meets the East meets West, you know, Far East, Deep South. So it's got, you know, the cowboy and all that, and the, you know, the roots of, you know, country music and all that. You know, I was born on 420. I smoke a lot of weed. You know, I'm a messenger of that. I was chosen to be a slacker by the universe. So that's that. You know, we got guns over here. It's, you know, it's our style. Oh, yeah. And then, you know, then it's got the Vedic representation of, like, Krishna and Vishnu and the, you know, all the Vedic godhead, you know, Krishna, Vishnu, and Shiva, you know, and it represents that with the you know, forearms and the, you know.
I get you.
So
that's what I'm saying.
Breakdown of it.
All right, so I got a lot of vinyl, but man, I mean, I'm gonna hang this, and this is gonna go up on my wall.
Thank you, brother. Appreciate it.
Has to be.
Just what an awesome piece of art, and I think that's what happened. You know, maybe our generation or generation, you know, they started compacting things.
Yeah.
And this went down to something that was
this
big, and then it got smaller, and then now it's
now it disappears.
Phone, and it's like, man, this is the whole beauty of vinyl.
People
are coming back to it, though.
They want tangible. They want something to hold in their hands. And vinyl, that's what I'm saying. That's why you see a lot of vinyls at show, because people are buying it again, you know? It's like a thing.
They're buying tape decks again, too.
Yeah,
buying
cassettes. I know a lot of people that are putting cassettes out.
Hey, shit, Brother Abe's got floppy disk he's putting out.
I got three of his at the house.
There you go.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So these like old mediums are kind of finding their way back as like little niches, like little like, oh, this is cool, you know?
Let me ask both of you this. Where do you think it'll go? I mean, we see this resurgence.
It's not going anywhere. I think it'll have its time in the sun. And it'll die off again, and then it'll probably even flow, dude.
Yeah.
Really? I mean, what do you think, baby?
About what?
Just like physical, tangible media.
I mean,
I think it's just hot for a season.
I mean, I don't know. I can't say like which way. I have no idea like if it's gonna like get better and better, or if like, you know, people are gonna be, you know, not buying it or doing streaming or doing what I have to. Shit, that's a good question.
Well, I will tell you one thing.
Good question.
It is hot here in Alabama today. What is it, about 94, 95? Right. Kids, don't leave this in your car.
No, I had a dude in Texas buy it, like on tour like a year ago. He sent me a picture. I'll show you on a little bit. That motherfucker was like melted over in his car. Like he left it on like a box and it like shaped
molded
box. Yeah. And yeah, he's like, hey, can you send me another one? I was like, yeah, but you gotta pay me. You know, like, yeah, you can't be leaving vinyl in your car at 110 degrees in Texas in the middle of summer.
Sorry, man. You didn't know no better.
Right.
I've been in places here in Alabama, family members, and they didn't have air conditioning when I was a kid back in the 70s, you know, and it's like, holy shit, it's hot in here.
Dude.
And they had a lot of bare minimal stuff, but it's like, man, how do you do it? So tell me about this vinyl, man. Like, where did you get this pressed, and why this color?
This was pressed in a place called Kindercore in Athens, Georgia, which is now defunct record. Well, it's a record plant that was taken over. Kindercore doesn't no longer exist, but it's another one. And then the gold I went with because of Christian Country Gold.
Yeah,
so
I dig it,
that's why.
And it's 45 RPM.
Yeah, it's 45, which I don't think I'll do again, because a lot of people get it and they're like, oh, it's chopped and screwed. And I'm like, no, you got to change that setting, bro.
All right, so I got to ask you this, BB. What happens if I play this thing backwards?
Oh, man. Satanic rituals.
Oh, yeah.
It's gonna. Don't do that. Don't do that.
Next thing you know, somebody will show up with a joint.
Yes. Exactly. That's exactly what happens. You get a knock at your door.
I heard you're ready.
There you go.
Yeah, I broke off a couple of needles playing it backwards.
Did you ever hear anything?
Yeah, I did. George Harrison.
I always thought it was Miss, you know?
I played a couple of Queen records back, and man, that was real suggestive.
Yeah, oh man, that's wild, dude. I like that, dude. That's cool. That's an interesting phenomenon that happened. You know, like, who thought that, like, oh, that's, you play it backwards and you're, you know, you're talking to the devil. Like, who thought of that? Like,
yeah.
I thought that started in Alabama.
It probably did.
It had to.
Do you know what happens if you play that backwards?
Yeah, but at the same time, we were burning Beatles records and stuff, you know. So yeah. That, you know,
I could definitely see it.
You ever listen to any Beatles?
Yeah, I love the Beatles, man.
Okay.
Yeah, for sure.
We just recently had a Beach Boy pass away, and I'll tell you that, I mean, like, your thoughts on it, I'd love to hear as well.
God.
Man, Beach Boys are Beatles. I always felt like anyone that was ugly towards them, especially if they're a musician, it was coming out of a very ugly place. It's like the Beach Boys, they had a song and it had 17 key changes in it.
Oh yeah, Brian Wilson was a master, you know.
It's like, if you're a hater of that, like, man, that says a little bit more about you than it does them. But I was always a fan. When it comes to all genres, like, it's hard for me to kind of, like, this, that, hate this, hate that. Like, I'm just pretty neutral, or I love it.
Yeah.
I don't try to be a hater.
Yeah. You can't.
You get what you put out, you know.
So yeah.
You become what you say and do, you know, so.
Well, I don't, me personally, I'm open to everything, and I listen to anything, and
same.
Going over to your Porch Fest, you know, I bought records, and I got turned on to some cool stuff, and I get back up north, and I try to tell people, man, you got to listen to this, you got to listen to this. And you guys were talking about this on Smoke Break about you talked about crabs in a bucket.
Yeah, crabs in a bucket mentality.
So explain that to me.
Well, like a lot of the, in my scene, and you know, whatever scene it is, alt country or whatever, or whatever you want to call it, it's like, it's a crab in a bucket mentality. So it's like, you know, someone sees you getting the top, they want to pull you down, they want to climb on top of you, you know, they want to, morally it's corrupt.
Everybody's trying to get out of the bucket.
Right. And the thing is, it's like, if we work together, we could do this a lot easier. You know what I'm saying?
That's why I support other musicians, and I go
sure.
and see them. And I've been in bands with other people, and they're like, "Why do you like them? And why?"
Right.
F them.
Like, well, right.
I mean, it was a conversation that we had last time he was on the podcast, man. Like, really, after like we were hanging out, we even went to that Red Barn, the only bar in Demopolis. But we were just talking about music as a whole, and like just things that I wanted to accomplish, and like, I mean, BB was somebody that kind of helped me, like, put me on a path to where I was like, okay, yeah, that is. Because I was a musician who was trying to be more in the musician side of things, where he was the first person that really showed me. He's like, you're actually a good supporter, and you should kind of focus on that and, like, kind of maybe build around that.
Yeah, for sure. We need people. We need that. You know, like it needs that. Yeah.
And that is something that I can excel in. It's like there's nothing wrong with me having a good time playing my instrument, but sure. It would be even better if I created festivals, had a storefront, or like I could back people.
You want to be the chess piece, or you want to be the guy playing the chess pieces? You know what I mean? Like, you can be a mover and a shaker. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Like, It's that's a beautiful thing.
Do you find that? You find a lot of support down here, BB?
No.
I mean, that goes...
I mean, there's a few, but...
Okay.
I mean, we named one earlier, right? When we were in Waverly, Alabama.
Yeah, Standard Deluxe.
Standard Deluxe.
Yeah.
You
know, Blue Canoe with Adam Morgan, or, like, you think Callahan's down in Mobile. I mean, there's a couple of people, like, that just seem to have their finger on the pulse, and I mean, they really have a feel for what's going on in the genre of music that he's in, and also like just that Americana alt country scene, which is what this state likes.
Yeah, there's not many, but the ones that are really, really good.
But it's like you'll never catch a bad show there, but it's like oftentimes, like, because it's not quote unquote popular, it's not mainstream.
Yeah, but you seem like a type of guy who wants to, can I say, fuck shit up, like, a little bit?
He absolutely does.
I'm a fuck shit upper, yeah. I'm a disruptor, you know, for sure, 100%.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's kind of rebel-esque.
Yeah.
Turn it upside down, shake the box.
Rebel to the grain, ain't no way to barricade me. Steamrolling bitches like an 18-wheeler with the drunk driver driving. There's no surviving. You know, that's the rebel INS, Wu-Tang.
Right.
So, yeah. That's my style.
So once again, I mean, in the evolution of music and everything else, I think that you, and that's why you, Alan, when you catch and you go down a wormhole, that's how I am, man. I find a wormhole and I'll go down it. And tell me about your influences. And tell me about your artists, you know, that you listen, that you got inspired by.
Well, dude, we met because of the Reckless Trace and Abe Partridge.
Yeah.
We met at Avondale Brewing in Birmingham, Alabama. We were all back in the greenery. That's where we met.
Cool, man.
That was the first time I saw you live.
Dude, that's crazy.
And, like, it was, I mean, that was a big stack bill. And Abe was just there. I think he rode up on the, at that time.
Abe was there, too?
Abe was, yeah, he came up with the Strays. Remember when they had that shitty bus?
Oh, yeah.
And they got a cool bus now, but when they had a shitty bus.
They had the church van.
The church van.
Yeah.
You know, I saw them probably... it's got to be 8 years ago, I think. I was down at Floribama, and they were playing down there.
Yeah.
And it was funny because Alabama, I come down here in the winter to get warm, you know, get out of the snow and everything. And I went down there, and they had the polar plunge.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah, I played that before. Polar.
I was way up in some damn... The Hillbilly Riviera is what people will call it. But, man, I was up in the condo somewhere, and I'm looking at 3,000 people. It froze down there, and I walked over to the Waffle House, and the puddles had ice on them.
Yep.
And I was like, "Holy shit!" So that was the first time that I saw the Red Clay Strays, and it was like they're working a roadhouse kind of thing.
Yeah,
and they were, and here it is, 8 years maybe later, and I'm like, "Holy shit, these guys are up, man."
They're playing the Red Rocks.
Yeah,
multiple times, Grand Opera.
Yeah,
and I mean, like guys like that. I mean, you could say Alabama Shakes when it comes to the north side of Alabama.
Yeah,
like in the past 20 years, honestly, I mean, Michigan. Maybe you could correct me, but I mean, Wu-Tang Clan too, but like different state altogether. But Alabama to me, when it comes to music right now, is really kicking some ass.
Yeah, I agree.
And really getting some people out. That need to be heard. St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I mean, they're out there.
Love St. Paul.
Yeah. I did a show with them at the Impact in Montgomery like 6 years ago. It was awesome. It was like cool to see, you know.
Yeah, I've seen them probably in Detroit twice, Grand Rapids. I was at Avondale. And they did that first record. I was there for that. So, yeah, I'm a big fan of that. And Alabama Shakes, of course. Yeah. You know.
They're reunited now.
Yeah. Yeah, man. I'll go see all that.
Well, very cool. Well, baby, not to take too much of your time up. Three questions walking out the door. If Kevin's got any more, that's good. Two. Question one is, man, what have you been reading lately? What's been changing your perspective?
You know, I haven't really been reading anything.
Maybe a movie, maybe.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Anything influencing you? Like, damn.
Yeah, let me see here. I can always tell on my phone by, like, you know, typically what I'm listening to or what I'm, you know, looking at. I'm really deep in, like, a hip-hop hole, you know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like, that's why I'm making the Wu-Tang meets Waylon record and all that. Like, that's, like, really inspired me. The grittiness and the lyrical sharpness of, like, Wu-Tang and all that stuff like that, like, kind of inspired me, lit a fire under me to, like, maybe to try to, like, bring in that with, you know, with like what I do in country music or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Because I think it hasn't been done. I'm not saying I'm going to be the one to do it right, but it hasn't been done right. You know, you see all these like pop country dudes with the trap beat behind us, like, nah, that's why.
That's not it.
Yeah, the country rap, that after, ain't it. You know, like.
Would it be closer to the Gourds?
No, yeah. Well, yeah. Like what we were talking about earlier,
okay.
with Gin and Juice, yeah. Like I'm singing, I'm playing. It's like it's B.B. Palmer stuff, but it's got samples. It's got, you know, lyrical sharpness. It's got like different sounds, different, you know, like a ferociousness to it that I think lacks in country music. You know, it's going to be a diss record. You know what I'm saying? I'm dissing people. You know, it's like,
I
want to start.
Wait.
I'm getting the hell out of here, man. I'll brush my teeth next time.
It ain't going to be you, Kevin. Don't worry. You're a good man. I would love to start some West Coast, East Coast style within country music. You know
Wouldn't
what I'm
that
saying?
Be fun?
Yeah, man, why don't we have that, dude? Why ain't no shit talking
well,
going on? There
should be
you know?
A little shit talk.
Absolutely, dude. So I'm on that train right now. But I'm kind of riding out of that, and I'm making I'm changing up what I'm going to do with Brett at Alabama Sound Company. So I'm kind of riding out of that, I think.
Alabama Sound Company, that's where the record is being produced. But as far as, like, listeners, if they want to keep up with you, where's the best place to do that? Social media-wise?
Yeah, you can just go to BB Palmer Music, Instagram, Facebook, you know, the talk, all that stuff. www.bbpalmermusic.com. That's got all the tour dates. bbpalmermerch.com. You can buy merch there. You know, just BB Palmer, Google it, and you'll see, you know.
Last question for me, and I'll turn it over to Kevin. He might have something. But last question is, man, if there was anywhere in the world that you could go, maybe enlightenment or just to turn cool the jets, whatever, where would it be?
Right now, man, Japan.
Japan?
I like to go to Japan, man. Yeah.
What's over there?
I don't know. I've been.
It's just where you think you'd like to go.
Yeah, I've read about it, I've seen it, and I've like you know I just I if I had a like a, if I was able to go on a you know a trip you know,
it'd be Japan.
It'd probably be Japan. Yeah, like I've been kind of wanting to go there. You know.
Hell yeah.
I don't know why, but that's where.
Very cool. Anything else, Kev?
Guilty pleasures. Do you have any?
Oh yeah, man. Of course I do. Sabrina Carpenter.
Fuck it. We're brothers.
Come on, man.
That espresso.
Yeah, that's that me espresso. I got a shout out to my girlfriend for that. She turned me on to that. But
that's who turned me on to my stuff. Yes,
okay. Dude, now listen. When it comes to that, like, of course, there's a lot of shitty pop out there, but she is not one of them. And the reason why I say this is because of Jack Antonoff, who produces all her stuff. Do the arrangements. I didn't realize. I was like, my girl was like, can you learn this song? I was like, yeah, I gotta learn this song. It's a fucking pop song, top 40. Sure I can. I was like, what are these fucking changes, man? I was like, it opened up my whole new world. Yeah, dude. The change.
There's a lot going on.
There's a lot going on, but it's like, it's sophisticated. It reminds me of like, kind of like what Brian Wilson was doing with, you know, with like, Pet Sounds and all that in the late 60s, but you know, like it's like these sophisticated changes, but it doesn't sound like it. You know what I mean? Like it's very melodic, but it's anyways. That's probably a recent. I wouldn't even say guilty pleasure because I don't even have those. I'll tell you what I'm listening to.
I've got the Duke. The next cardboard cutout I was gonna have here was Sabrina Carpenter.
Dude, come on, put the Duke and Sabrina up with each other.
They're gonna get married.
Man. Come on, dude.
They're getting married. I'm serious. Like, dude, I've been a Sabrina Carpenter head for like 3 months now, and I am not ashamed.
Dude, I'm not either, man. I'm not either. Listen to her record, and you'll be like, these songs, these movements, these arrangements are beautiful.
Like, it's pop music, but it's good pop
done right.
When I'm driving up 159 today, am I putting the windows down and blasting Sabrina Carpenter?
Yeah, put on
Taste
or Juno or I mean, there's so many. This record right here, I'll show you. I don't know the name of it.
It's the blue one.
The blue one, yeah. It's
her face.
Yeah, it's that one right there. Like the blue record right there. Yeah, that one. Yeah,
that record rules.
It's a great record, man.
And her new she's working out, Manchild. It's going to be good, too.
Yeah, yeah. She's been showing me. I've been listening to all that with my girlfriend.
And a lot of people are saying it's a sexualization. Like, it's a play.
Yeah.
She's playing.
Yeah, she gets some shit. But anyways, she writes. That's what I was trying to figure out. Does she write these songs?
Yeah.
Because she's a great singer and all that. Like, well, she's a Disney product.
Yeah,
she came up
the more
Disney.
Successful one, because you know how they fall off.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like, how did she make it through? Not fucked up, but anyways, I she has a team around her. Like, that's why I'm always looking at the credits, because I'm like, you know, you look at these songs like that and there's a million people involved, you know. So it's like, who did what? Who did what? I don't know. But the collaboration together, and you'll really hear it on the NPR Tiny Desk.
Okay.
Listen to that one.
All right.
Because she's got a, it's great. Anyways, that would be something that that probably a lot of people wouldn't expect.
All right, so.
For us to listen to.
Yeah.
You know.
I'm glad you brought her up. I was like, I fucking love her too,
yeah,
dude.
Yeah, me too, brother. Right.
Any other guilty pleasures?
You know, I'm like, I love the late 90s guilty pleasure. I was a big Hanson fan.
Okay.
All the way through their later stuff. Yeah, all the way past them by there, they had some good shit. Dixie Chicks, love the Dixie Chicks.
Can you call them that now?
Oh, sorry, the Chicks. Yeah. Chicks, Dixie Chicks, yeah. Chicks.
We're Lady A.
Yes, right, exactly. That, you know, I like all types, like you say, you know, like I'm... it doesn't matter if it's bubblegum pop or if it's, you know, whatever, you know, I mean, it could be anything, you know, I mean, hell, it could be bubblegum pop to Gershwin, you know what I'm saying, whatever, everything in between.
What about you, Kev? What's your guilty pleasure?
You know, I tell you what, I saw these pickers last night up in Vernon, and it was, you know, Bob Seger, and it was John Mellencamp.
Yeah,
Allman Brothers.
Was he sucking down a chili dog?
So
we banned it from that now.
So I'm watching all this, right? And it got to be, and I'm looking around at the grandmas, and they're all holding their phones, and they're checking their email or whatever.
Right.
And I'm like, and I looked it over this, it looked like Van a little bit. And I'm like, man, she's looking at porn. I know that.
Yeah.
And then the kids are starting to run around. They're all sugared up and shit, and they're playing John Mellencamp. And I was like, and then in this interlude, my favorite, Katy Perry, comes on. And they play
Firework. You like Katy Perry? I like Katy Perry.
They played Firework, and you should have seen all these little kids that were on their rugs. I mean, kids were waking up.
Dude.
And they were like, Firework? And I'm like, yeah, man.
When the children like it, it's real.
I'm like, why aren't these old pickers playing that shit?
No shit. They open up their taste, man. That's a mindset, dude. That is a mindset. People aren't saying it's like, oh, I'm too manly. I ain't gonna listen to that. You know, it's like, you know, change your perspective, my
don't
boy.
Don't sleep on Billie Eilish when she play and her brother plays guitar for her.
Oh yeah, that's good.
Phineas.
Yeah,
because they rule.
I want you to stay.
Yeah, dude. Yeah.
And I'm in the grave. It's like that. Till I rot away and I'm buried. Till I'm in a casket you carry. No, I'm going through. It was always you. You know what I'm saying? Birds of the feather. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, it's on every radio station right now.
It's a great song.
That song rules.
That's what I'm saying. Even down here in the deep part of Central Western Alabama, like,
yeah,
you're going to a festival, man. Why is anybody playing that? Why don't
listen, me and Alan, we're rare products of Alabama.
Birds of a feather.
Like, there's not too many.
And I'm not on that Jelly Roll train though.
Yeah.
Okay.
I can't go with that either. But there's this, like, you know, mentality of, like, you know, Don't get too far outside of...
Don't ruffle feathers.
Well, that, and also, exactly, it's like, you know, people are just... Some people raised here, they don't go anywhere else, they don't know anything else, you know, and that's not an excuse, because, you know, like, I was like that, but I ventured out, you know what I'm saying? And I just think that it's good to have an open mind, you know what I'm saying?
And I'll tell you, like, some of the best taste I have, it comes from my girls. They put me on so much, like... I'll tell you, I was dating a girl when Taylor Swift's 1989 album came out, which I would still say is probably Taylor's best album.
It's a great record, yeah.
And, like, that's all she played, and I could play every song on that for you. I love that record. And, trust your girls. Really.
For real.
Trust your girls.
Absolutely. Same thing. My girlfriend changed my way of thinking, changed my songwriting, gave me a whole new dimension. You know, like, I agree. The ladies, you know,
Like, there's something there that they know.
Absolutely.
Know, that we can learn from.
I don't mind that Doja Cat.
That was kick-ass. Did you pick up the guitar?
Anyway. Fantastic. All right. That's a wrap. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Hell yeah. Yeah, you got to sometimes. This is storytelling, you know.
1, 2, 1, 2, 3.
Watch out for snakes and grass. Look down or they bite your ass. Steal your dreams and leave you flat. Watch out for starry eyes. Those eyes, they often lie. Anything for fame and pride. Anything at all. Well, that's just pain and glory. That's the same old story for years. That's just human nature. That's just love and I hate you again. Again and again and again. Shotgun is the only way to kill a snake. Bust his head open and lay it in his grave. But I prefer to guillotine just like Wu-Tang or Louis the King. Just like a French revolutionary. Well, that's just pain and glory. That's the same old story for years. That's just human nature. That's just love and I hate you again. Again and again and again. Don't kill me, make me immortal. Pretty soon I'll be opening portals to other worlds and know me immortal. Won't you let me walk you home from school? Won't you let me meet you at the pool? Baby, Friday I can get tickets for the dance, and I'll take you. Won't you tell your dad, get off my back? Tell him what we said about painted black. Rock and roll is here to stay. Come outside where it's okay. And I'll shake. Won't you tell me what you're thinking of? Won't you be an outlaw for my love? If it's so, then let me know. If it's no, then I will go. I won't let
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.